So this morning, I would like to look a little bit at the theme. So the theme for the time together is letting go in four stages. So I'll talk more about this in the evening. But what I'd like to look at this morning in terms of the instructions is to start to look at how the process of meditation works, how the process of mindfulness work, of paying attention in a certain way, and how, what is that connection with, on one side, letting go, and I would say the other side of letting go is creative engagement. So now I just want to look at the basic thing we do when we sit in meditation or walk in meditation or stand or lie down when we meditate. And so within the Buddhist framework, you have these two aspects, you have these two qualities you are trying to cultivate. The first one is anchoring, and the other one is exploring. So the first one, anchoring, so that's generally will suggest that you take an object in the experience, that it be the breath, that it be the sound, that it be the body, that it be a question, that it be a quality like loving kindness. And then the first idea is that we're going to focus on it. We're going to anchor on it. So in a way, we're going to use that as an anchor. So a bit like an anchor on a boat. So you have the boat, is anchored, and because of the anchor, it's not going to get lost or go too far. But because of the anchor, it's not remaining immobile. It moves a little, but not too far. So really to see then when we suggest to be aware of the breath or aware of the body or the sound or whatever it is that actually it's not the breath or the sounds which are special. And this is why we need to be aware of them, because they're special. Anything can be used as an anchor in a way, as long as it's harmless. But what is important is the fact of anchoring, that we have like a reference point. So to see the anchor is as a stabilizing, to help us to stabilize, to help us to anchor, like the anchor of a boat. But it doesn't mean that we remain immobile. The boat moves a little bit, and in the same way, when we sit, we try to be aware of the breath, and we will have thought, sensation, we hear sound. But by coming back to the breath, to the anchor, then this will, a certain process will start to happen. And to me, this is what is important in terms of anchoring and letting go, in a way, or creative engagement. Let's look at what happens when we try to anchor on the breath. So we decide, okay, I'm going to be... We set, in a way, a task, in a way. We're saying, I am going to be more aware of the breath than other thing. So that's what I choose to do, in a way. So that's also important. In a way, I choose to be aware more of the breath than other thing. But I am not choosing to only be aware of the breath regardless of anything else. But it's kind of like we use it as a point of reference. And we say, oh, for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, I'm going to use the breath as an anchoring device. So if we do that, we start with the breath. So first thing here is attention. We're going to use our attention, the fact that we can pay attention in a certain way to certain things. So we're going to bring that function we have. We can pay attention to things. So we're going to pay attention to the breath. So here, again, we're going to pay attention to the breath in a certain way, in a kind, gentle, open, stable manner. So we are not trying to force ourselves around the breath, but we use it as an anchoring device and we use it in a specific way. So we can bring our attention in a kind way to that object. And then if we do this, four things happen. We are sitting, we try to be aware of the breath, and then we think of something else. Or we become more interested in a sensation, or in a sound, or in an emotion. So in a way, we were the focus, the attention was on the breath, and then it shifted. Because it's hard for the attention to stay in the same place. This is very normal. This is just our mind is used to be in many different places. And here we kind of say we want to stabilize the attention a little bit in a certain way. And so other things will take us away. Other things will, in a way, get our attention. Because our attention is like a radar. So we can try to put it on one point, but whoops, this sounds more interesting. You know, oops, we go there, or we go here. Because it is true, the breath actually is quite generally a subtle object. So we can use it as an anchor, it can be useful, but it's not a very strong object, so we can easily go to something else. So sometimes listening, sound can be objects which are a little stronger, or sometimes the sensation in the body, or sometimes a phrase might be more kind of helping us to anchor. And sometimes people really love to anchor on the breath. So it's, again, what works. So because we've made that choice in a way, I'm going to be with the breath as much as I can within the condition, then a thought come up, for example, about the past, about the future or whatever. And then, okay, a thought. I can make the choice. This is what is interesting with this practice. It's about letting go. It's a little bit about making choice, but in a clear and stable way. Because sometimes we make choices, but they kind of, I must force myself to do this. It works, sometimes not. Here is kind of in a way seeing that a lot of our thought, we already have had them. We will have them again. So I mean, one of the things which is a little, not disappointing, but a little humbling, we could say that we sit in meditation and we have lots of thought. I mean, of course, some thought might be more fantastic than others. But most of them, we have had them before. And what is interesting is our feeling, the impulse that I must think that now. So either it's an impulse which is more like a repetition. Oh yeah, why not? Oh yeah, why not? Or it's, I must think this. I have to think this. There can be different reasons we follow a certain thought. And so here the attention, the anchoring is saying, can we come back to the breath instead? Knowing that we'll think this again anyway. So it's not like, you know, of course, you can continue with the thought. And at the same time, you can also go back to the breath. If you come back to the breath, in terms of letting go, you're starting to dissolve the automatic tendency. Because often we feel like there is this impulse and we cannot stop it. I think something, it is not pleasant, it is not helpful, but I cannot help myself. So there is a certain automatic impulse, kind of like we feel a little caught. And so in a way, the coming back to the anchor is actually not to stop the thought, but it's more to work with the automatic, with the kind of the fact that it's kind of like taking us over, we nearly feel. So it's kind of more, okay, I'll go back to the breath. And then if you do that, you're not feeding the habit. Second, you diminish its power. And by just doing that, you're going to go back to the creative functioning of the thinking, the feeling, the sensing, etc. This, to me, this is an important thing about the practice, is coming back to the creative functioning so that we less into automatic and more into, I want to think a certain way, I can, I don't need to, I don't. So there is more freedom within that creative functioning. But one thing also, the last one that happened when we come back to the breath, is actually we come back to the whole moment. We come back to the whole experience. And this is something that we can see with the meditation, is that, for example, if we get caught in a sensation or in an emotion or in a thought, we generally restrain the attention to that. So a lot of what is existing right now disappears. And so one of the advantages of, in terms of letting go, in terms of creative engagement, is that if you come back to all the diverse elements of what is going on now, it will be easier to creatively engage, to have a creative response. Instead of getting smaller and smaller and caught more and more in a kind of a small part of our experience, a difficulty we have, a worry we have, a fantastic idea we have, etc. So in a way, what it's going to bring more balance, because we will be more with all the elements, instead of getting kind of a little stuck just with one. So seeing that when we come back to the breath, we're slowly cultivating that. So we don't have to say, oh, I am not feeding my automatic reaction. Oh, I'm coming back to my creative function. I'm not asking you to do that. But just the fact of doing it, of, oh, coming back to the breath. And then what is interesting, either then you can come back to the anchor in different way according to the level of stickiness. And again, this is part of what goes on. Some things are not very sticky and some are more. So sometime you're distracted and then immediately you come back because the distraction was very light. And then you don't have to do much. Just time to time you're somewhere else, and time to time you're with the breath, and then it is back and forth. All the time you can feel it's a little more habitual. It's kind of suddenly you see yourself going into this, what I would call habitual thinking, for example, judging, planning, whatever it might be. And then it's a little more, that's a nice plan, or I must organize this. And then the question is, do I need to really do it right now, to do this one right now? Or can I just go back to the breath? And then sometime, something might have happened to you which is a little heavy, which is a little difficult. And so it's intense. You sit there and it's like you're kind of, you know, worrying about it. Your mind keep going back to it. What if? And if this happened? And wow. And I don't know. And here, to see that because of the condition, you're going to be a little or a lot worried about certain things, and it will be on your mind. And then the coming back to the anchor is actually to create space, a short space, so that, okay, I am worried about this. Yes, I'm worried about this, but for just a few seconds, let me go back to the breath. Let me go back to the whole moment, sitting here with everybody here in a kind way. And then in that way, you don't amplify. Part of the letting go is actually not amplifying. I'll talk more about this tonight. So that's what happened with the anchoring. And then there is this thing which we have to see about attention, is that when we put our attention somewhere, it can intensify it. So that is something to look at. Where do I put my attention? Sometimes to put the attention in a kind way will open the thing up. And sometimes if we put our attention in something, but if it's not kind, then it has a tendency to bring that tension, to intensify. So we have to be a little careful there where we put our attention. We can see that very much with sensation. Actually, if you are sitting in meditation, and then you can see, you know, if I, let's say I have a pain in the knee. And if I go to the pain in the knee, but with this tight attention, then generally it's like it's more there. But then if I have the pain in the knee and I go to it inside the sensation in a kind way, in an explorative way, then it can feel different. So this is something to also explore during the time together here. How does attention work? And what is its effect? If it's more like a kind, soft attention, or if it's this kind of like intense holding attention. So I think we also, very important, the quality of the attention. And then the other aspect of the practice is really this exploration in terms of change. And this is very simple. This is not kind of intellectual inquiry. It's more experiential inquiry. Just to notice, to whatever degree we can, that things change. Sensation change, sound change, thought change. And things change actually in two ways. One way, they change within themselves so that we can notice if we have like a sensation, physical sensation, which lasts a little bit. Then if you go inside the sensation, you notice it's not exactly the same all the time. Same with a sound. You hear a sound, and if it continues, and you go inside the sound, you can notice that it changes within itself. Or if we have a funny kind of like emotional feeling, the same. If we don't do anything with it and it's not too strong and we go inside it, then generally change within itself. But again, here we have to be careful. If it's a kind attention, how is it? If it's a tight attention, how is it? And then there is a fact that it comes and it goes. Some sensations, they just come and they go. Some thought come and go. Some feeling come and go. And so that practice of exploration, of change, is actually, in terms of letting go, to dissolve a tendency we have to make things more permanent than they are. And this is a little because of this, what I would call the generalizing principle, that as human being, we have to categorize, we have to generalize. Oh, this is a chair, this is a lamp, this is snow falling, this is ice. Ice, in general, I have to be careful when there is ice. So the generalizing principle is useful to make category and to handle different things. But when it becomes too habituated, then very quickly we say it's always like this. It will never change. So then we have a tendency to make things more than they are, which makes it more difficult to creatively engage with it. There is a difference if you say it's always like this to, oh, this is happening, and these are the conditions, and what can I do with these conditions now? And so because we have such a quick reaction, it's always like this, it will never change. Then part of the meditation process, in order to help us to be more in tune with the fact that things change, is to be with the experience and to notice how does it change in terms of coming and going or in terms of changing within itself. And so it's just being in the experience, that it be listening to a sound, that it be being aware of the breath as it comes and goes, that it be being aware of sensation, just noticing, it's here, it's gone. And at that level, there is a very interesting practice that then we can do in daily life, but also during the retreat, is that when we feel something, instead of thinking, oh, this is going to last a long time, that it be a pain in the knee or that it be a funny feeling, can we go inside it and ask ourselves, how long is this going to last? So in a way, we accompany what we experience as it happens. And then through that, there can be some wisdom. If the thing just happened and goes, then it's light. You don't need to do anything about it. If the thing continues, then you have to do something about it. So I think we have to be careful not to think that, oh, everything changes, which means I should not care for anything. That's not the idea at all. The idea is that actually it's going to bring wisdom. What is it I don't need to worry about? Because it just comes, it goes, it's light. I don't need to make a story out of it. I don't need to explain it. And what is it that, because certain things are not there all the time, but they seem to repeat themselves. And so we become interested. What are the conditions for this to arise? What makes it less? What makes it more? And then if it's something which, for whatever reason, might last a long time, how does it change within itself? Is there any change within it? Because then it will make us see, find more freedom within that. So that's what we are doing when we're in meditation. So we're aware of the breath. And then you have the fact that the anchor is in the foreground. It's like in the foreground, you have the breath, for example. And then in the background, you have everything else. The sound, the thought, the sensation, etc. And so it's kind of really trying to be anchored within a wide open awareness. And then you could have, if somebody cough or if there is some sound, then the sound could come in the foreground and the breath could go in the background. Or you might have certain sensation in the body. So you might decide to pay attention to that. Then the breath goes into the background. The sensation comes into the foreground. So here we're not changing. It's just kind of in a way, what is in the foreground, what is in the background. And then it's again, what is happening and what is happening with your attention. Is it relatively clear? Are there any questions about this? So, what we're going to do is that after the instruction now, we're going to sit, then we're going to walk, sit, walk, and then we'll finish at 12 with a discussion. And then this will be a practical discussion about if you have any question about the practice or thing of that nature. Then in the afternoon, as I said previously, you'll have the group discussion in finish with Sari in the room down there. And then also on the board, I have put personal interviews with me. So the way with the personal interview is just in the group discussion here at the end of the morning, this is for like general questions. But then if there is some question or things you want to speak with me more privately, then you can sign up for the interview. So the interview is not something special. It's just if you wanted to talk to me, do something which is possibly more personal or more precise. Because otherwise we have the other discussion time where we can talk about things more generally. So, and the one thing to be careful about is that most of the interviews are in the afternoon during the small group discussion. So make sure that if you sign up for an interview with me in the afternoon, you're not double booking the time as you are in a discussion. So, I mean, you have the two on the board, you can say, oh, my time of group discussion is then. So then on Monday afternoon, I don't have an interview with Martin, but I can do it on Tuesday. So just be careful of that. And then you can sign up when you want, as you want. You can sign up in advance or not at the last minute. There are quite a few slots, so it's up to you. Okay?